You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Proverbs 4 verse 23. Now we have some of these leaflets, these Love Life leaflets. We should have had them as you was coming in. Maybe some of you got last week. There's some on the back of those leaflets, or inside it breaks down all of the sermons that I'm going to be preaching over the next 6 weeks. Also on the back, it's got all the key dates, and so you do not want to miss it. And so I got to live up to my commitment. I said that on that leaflet, if you have it. He said, what was I going to preach about? Healthy what? No one saw it. Heart. Yeah, woman of God, whoever that was. Amen. And so a healthy heart, and we want to deal with that. Before we read the text, I want to say that most of us went to school. How many of you went to school? Maybe some are still at school. Amen. You went to school. And so when you go to school, they teach you 2 and 2 equals 4. Yeah, we're on track with that. They teach you that geography. London is the capital of which country? Amen. Wonderful. You guys are just, you got degrees, man. They teach us about 1066. They teach us about a few science things. Obviously, that's the limit of what they kind of taught me. But we go through these things. We mathematics, English, science, geography, history. But most of us, and if you're from my generation, definitely, most of us never did a course on relationships. And what I mean by that is how to be a good daughter, how to be a good son, how to be a good mother or father, how to be a good friend. We didn't, most of us, we did not get that from school. And even though school is good, we went to school, and they teach us all about these mathematics and history and all of these things so that we would one day be successful, so that we would one day have a good life, but not about relationships. I want to say this. The quality of life is in the relationships you have. The quality of life. If you think about the best times in your life, most of them, 99% of them, will be connected to a relationship somehow. The best things that have happened to you, the best times in your life, the most enjoyable times that you've had is usually connected, most of us would say, to a relationship somehow. But also, if we was to say the most hurtful things that you've been through in life, the most painful circumstances that you've gone through, the things that have left an indelible, painful memory in your heart, many of those things are connected to a relationship. And so what do we get from that? We understand that when I have good relationships, my life seems good. There's a quality, there's a happiness. When I have bad relationships, you may know that 2 and 2 equals 4. You may be even more cleverer than that. But when you have bad relationships, it affects our life. And so our desire and our endeavor should be, I want to create healthy relationships so that I can have a good life. How many want a good life? I want a good life. I want a good life. We should develop these healthy relationships. So I've made a premise that quality of life is on relationships. But I want to say this, and this is really the heart of what we're getting to, is that the relationships, if you want healthy relationships, it comes from a healthy heart. If you're going to have healthy relationships in life, to have a good life, you're going to need a healthy heart. And we want to deal with this, looking at the issues of the heart and how do we get a healthy heart. Proverbs 4 verse 23, the Bible says this, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy, your love, your kindness. I pray, Father, you'd be upon this service. We desperately need your anointing. I pray, Father, that you would do a work on the inner man, the heart issues. We've come here today, people look good, and we've got our Sunday faces on. But, Father, I pray that you would penetrate through that, because there are some people here, Father, they're hurting. Some people here, they're frustrated. Some people here, they're going through a difficult time. But Lord, I pray that you would meet with them and you reveal yourself to them. We ask you this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, and the real church said, amen. Let me start by saying, knowing your heart. And before we're going to get into anything, we're going to talk about you knowing your heart. There is a misconception in our day and age today. And that misconception is, when we're talking about relationships, is that when I meet the right person, I'm going to be happy. And some of you, you've bought into this misconception. You're on this journey. You're on this endeavor. You're on this escapade, this pilgrimage to find the right person. Because you believe, when I find the right person, I'm going to be happy, man. You've seen those movies where a guy meets a girl and then they like each other and then they fall out and then they get back together again and then the words come up. That's the end. That's really it. That's most, you know, they call it a chick flick. It's what women like. That's the essence. What it is, they found this one person and afterwards they live happily ever after. How many know life is not like that? You meet someone and then words go up, you know, and then it's the end. How many know you meet someone and then words, life goes on? And so many people, this misconception, they think, you know what, if I find the right person, I'm going to be happy, and that's all I need to do. This scripture tells us something different. It says happiness is actually not linked just to a person. Happiness is linked to the condition of your heart. Because he said this in the scripture, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart springs the issues of life. The Bible didn't say find the right person with all diligence. Because if you find the right person, out springs from them all happiness. The Bible says, no. Where it comes from is the heart. The Bible shows us this, that in Matthew 12, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. And so the Bible also says, Jesus speaks about this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so many times in the Bible, what it says is, no. The real issue here is your heart. Let me make a statement here, is that the heart sees what it wants. Your heart sees what it wants. And so we've got to know the condition of our heart. Your heart sees what it wants. Look at someone and say, he's talking about your heart. Talking about your consent, you're like, her heart sees what she wants, but not mine. Mine just, no. Your heart, the heart sees what it wants. I made a little comment, and you all kind of clocked with it last week when I said, when you want a certain car, I remember when I wanted a Polo many years ago, about 16 years ago, I wanted this Polo, and it was a 1.6, it was a Polo, it had a certain wheels on it, certain things, certain specs, certain things. And so I don't know how I tracked onto this. I locked onto this. I'm looking on Auto Trader every minute of the day. Like, just reading it like I should be reading my Bible. And so I'm looking at this Auto Trader, and then I start to see these Polos everywhere. And I just want one now. I just want one. It's because once I wanted it, the heart sees what it wants. I've got an image here. I want to put this image up. I don't know if this is going to... We got that image? Let's have a look here. How many see a young woman in this picture? If you see a young woman, put your hand up. See a young woman in this picture. How many see an old woman in this picture? Put your hand up. Think about it now. How many of you don't see a young woman? You don't see a young woman. Okay. Imagine she's looking away from you. That's her ear, her jaw. She's looking away like this. You're looking at her like this. You see it now? Someone just got the Holy Spirit. How many of you don't see an old woman? Put your hand up. You don't see an old woman. Okay, so basically, where the young woman's necklace is, that's the old woman's mouth going to her chin. Oh yeah. How many of you see both? How many of you see neither? We need to pray for you. Okay, think about this now. Okay, home it in. Think about this. Nothing has changed about this picture. It's just lines. And I said to some of you, did you see a young woman? Some of you are still, you're lost in it. Look, concentrate on me. Think about this now. I asked you this. Did you see a young woman? And some of you said yes. And then someone else could look at the same picture and see an old woman. Now, which one is there? They're both there. Nothing changed. The picture didn't change, but what you saw changed. What this tells us is that you can look at the same thing and then afterwards see something different. Now, that's just a picture, and we're playing with the mind. But I want to say this, is that this is how our heart is. We think we see something and we see everything. But no. When you're looking at situations and circumstances in life, what you're seeing many times is what your heart wants to see. Take it off now, because some people are still ain't seen nothing. They're like, oh, what is that? I see a cat on the moon. Your heart sees what it wants. And so you've got to understand this. We're talking about knowing the heart, because if you do not understand this, you will think, oh no, I see everything. No, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says that our hearts will deceive us. It shows us what it wants. This is why many times people get stuck in relationships, negative cycles. They go around in negative cycles. There are some people here, you just keep dating people and they keep hurting you. And you're figuring out, why is this? Because you are caught in a negative relationship cycle. And the reason why you can't see it, because the heart can only see what it wants. Some people here, you're married. I heard of a lady in a church, and so she's a Christian lady. She's in the church. She's married. She's been saved for a while. She's a good Christian woman. She comes to every service. And so, but what happened was she'd go through these cycles where either she'd be in beef with her husband, and then that would kind of settle down, and then she'd be beef with someone in church. And then she would go back, and then that would settle down, and then she'd be in beef with her husband. And she would go around in these cycles, beef with her husband, then beef with people in church, then back to beef with her husband, and it's almost like you could set your clock by this woman. And thank God that she changed. She had a radical revelation. She just changed. And years, this was going on for years, and she changed. And what she said was, is that she realizes, my heart had to change. Once my heart changed, I saw what I was doing was wrong. But for years, she's going around like that. She's an intelligent woman. She knows a few things, but the heart only sees what it wants. It wants to say, I'm right. That's what the heart wants to say. Your heart, my heart, wants to always say, you're right. It's not you, it's them. It's not you. It's nothing to do with you. You're doing your best. The heart will, most of us will be like this. We'll say this. I know I'm not perfect, but it's them. That's how we operate. We know, unless you're psycho, you think, I'm perfect. No. This is why people get locked in, because the heart only sees what it wants. This is why it becomes very dangerous when you're in a relationship with someone, or you're picking someone for a relationship, or you're entering into a relationship, because the heart only sees what it wants. And so what happens is that we ignore the warning signs. We ignore the warning signs. Let me go back to my polo. I love preaching about this little navy blue polo. I wanted this polo bad. I've been looking for one for about 3 weeks. So now you know I'm hot on it. I'm just desperate now. I go up to Catford. I view this polo in the nighttime. I mean, you don't go and view a car in the night. Kind of crazy, But that's because I want it, because the heart wants what it wants. I go and view this polo. I'm looking around it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm buying it. That's it, I'm buying it. And I give the guy a deposit. I pay the money, I buy it. I'm like, yeah, come on now. Got what I wanted. A little while down the road, I think within I can't remember how long, but a short span of time, things start to go wrong. I take it to the garage. The guy in the garage says, this has been in an accident. And what they've done is, under the car, there's a chassis. This is what holds the engine and the wheels. This is the strength of the car, the chassis. It's bent. But what they've done is, rather than fixing it, they just banged it out a bit, but it's still mangled underneath. And then they just put a new side on it, sprayed it, and sold it to a Muppet. You know what? Well, as soon as the guy said it, you know what came in my mind? I remember when I was looking at it, that door didn't look quite straight. That's what I thought. As soon as he said it, I was like, yeah, and when I got in, I remember there was this handle, and it went, when it closed, but I ignored all of the warning signs, because the heart only sees what it wants. The heart only sees what it wants. This is why when somebody wants somebody, we can all see the alarm bells. Like, have you got that thing on your iPhone? Like, if you set the alarm, that noise, like there's radiation in the house. That's going off. Everyone else can hear it and see it, and you're like, oh, I'm in love. I'm in love, man. But everyone's like, hey, can't you see the warning? Bro, man, come on, man, there's Rizzler in her bag. Bro, and not only just Rizzler, the packet has been ripped a little bit. A little square is missing off the corner. We know what she's doing with that. That wasn't the pick of her teeth. That's just something else. And you're like, no, bro, man. Yeah, but look next to the Rizzler. She's got a Bible. Bro, come on. Sis, look how old he is. And he still has never had a job. And he still lives with his mom. And he wants to spend your money and drive your car. And he wants you to buy him clothes. Warning signs. Oh, no. We get on so well. He's so nice to me. The heart sees what it wants. The heart sees what it wants, church. See, these are warning signs that many times the heart doesn't see until afterwards. So after the things start to go drastically wrong. Sometimes people, even when things are going wrong, they still can't see it. When someone has abused them, cheated on them, done all of this, and they're like, no. Can you not see what's happening here? No, because the heart sees what it wants to see. It's blinded by these things. No, I want them, so I refuse to see anything that tells me no. Anything that tells me wait. Anything that tells me to investigate more. Sometimes when you see people in this predicament, if you start to even suggest, hey, maybe we need to slow down a bit. What? You become the enemy. You become the enemy. Even if you just, I'm not sure about that. Because the heart sees what it wants. See, this is so important for us to understand our hearts. The Bible said, listen, you better guard that thing. Because out of it is going to set the conditions and the quality of your life. Your heart's health, the health of your heart, is going to limit your commitments. Let me make that statement again, and I'm going to explain it. The health of your heart today is going to set the limits of your commitments. See, what we look at is commitments. Oh, no, but they said they love me. They're making a commitment. I will love you. Until the earth falls, till the sun burns, till this. And it's, people start making these things, and it's like, oh, they said they love me forever and ever and ever until ever. And they're making commitments. But the heart sets the limits to your commitments. Let me give you a physical analogy so you can understand what I'm talking about. Let's say that I'm somewhere and I see a plea for a charity. And I'm like, you know what? I'm moved. By that charity, they're helping children. I'm going to sign up and I'm going to run this marathon. And I see this one of these. I was reading last year. I read a book about these 50-mile marathons where they run all night. They start in the day, run through the night, finish the next day up a mountain. And I say, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to run that marathon for charity to raise money for these little orphans. I mean, that's a good thing. It's a nice thing. I've made a commitment with my mouth. On the day of the marathon, I've got my trainers on, I've got my joggings on, and I'm ready to go now. And I start. And I run for a mile up a hill at night. 2 miles. Now my heart is beating. I feel like I'm going to die. Because I haven't trained. I haven't practiced. I've been just living my life. Normal. Gets to 5 miles. I collapse on the floor. The doctor, the student comes around. Hey, listen, you can't run anymore, man. Your heart is... No. You can't do this. Remember what we said? I made a commitment that I was going to run this for charity. That's a good commitment. But I can't finish the race because of the health of my heart. You can make commitments that you cannot keep because your heart just ain't healthy. You told that person, I would love you forever. I'll sacrifice for you forever. You made all these statements and all of these things. You can even make vows at the altar. You can give a speech in your wedding. This is what it is. And people are crying. I was at a wedding one time. The guy was playing the piano. And he was singing, my love, there's only you. Women were crying. People get stirred up. Oh, look at that. That's real love. Listen, if the condition of your heart is unhealthy, you will not be able to live up to those commitments you made. And many times, you know what we look at? We listen to people's commitments without looking at their heart. We listen to people's commitments. Sometimes we make commitments. There's some of you here, you made commitments, and now you're scratching your head. How come I can't live up to this commitment? Because of their health. Of your own heart. See, relationships are like the cardio exercise for the heart that we're talking about. How many know we're not talking about the thing inside of you that pumps blood around you? We're talking about your inner man, your inner being. When the Bible speaks about the heart, it's talking about who you really are on the inside, where your emotions and your desires and your inner thoughts reside. And relationships are going to exercise that thing like nothing. And the problem is some people have made a commitment to somebody, made a commitment to something, they're talking a good talk, but as they're starting to run, we're starting to see some fatigue. The fatigue we're talking about, to show you, let's do a heart test here. How do you know, nowadays we've got technology where we can have heart monitors. Back in the day, you go to the doctor would put the stethoscope or whatever it's called, on your chest, or he'd feel your pulse. You tell him you're sick, he feels your pulse. We need to take our pulse today. We need to look at the health of our heart today. See, signs of heart sickness is this. You're self-seeking. You start to realize, I'm self-seeking. When you talk to people, they always insert themselves in every conversation. They're the hero of all their own stories. It's always someone else. It's never them. It's never them. It's everybody else. It's the boss. The boss hates me. And then you got a sack and you went to another job. That boss hates me. Then you got a sack again. That boss hates me. Maybe it's something, I don't think there are people in London that get up every day seeing a poster of you trying to plot your downfall. Then it's the church hates me. Then it's my family hates me. Everyone's against me. I don't think no one is against you in that way. The problem is that you're self-seeking. Problem is you're seeing the symptoms of a sickness of the heart. And you need to understand your own heart. This is a sickness. This is something that's going on. A lack of kindness. What about a lack of forgiveness? When you can't forgive somebody, you know what that is? That reveals a condition of your heart. You can't forgive that person. I won't forgive them. You're overcome by bitterness. You're jealous. You can't bear to see someone else celebrated or congratulated or promoted around you. You always have to tear something down. Oh, did you see Sister So-and-so? Yeah, but that hair's not hers. She looks good. Who cares whose hair it is? She looks good. What's that got to do with you or anybody? Praise God. She looks good. Sometimes it reveals itself in banter. People call it banter. You know what it is? It's a sneaky way of expressing your envy. Yeah. You know, I'm only joking with you, bro. Yeah, you look whack. Your jeans are whack. Your head's whack. Everything's whack. Yeah. It's just really, if you're that person, go home, shut the bathroom door, look in the mirror. envious. You're impatient with people. What this is you've started to run a race with someone. Okay, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to help you. And he says, you get so frustrated with people so quick. What it is the health of your heart. Your heart is fatigued. You do not have a healthy heart. There's a problem with the heart. See, the reality is every single one of us can point at certain things within our life, within our heart, where we see this issue. There's not one person here that you could say, no, I do not see these evidences of fatigue in my heart. And the reason why we all suffer from it, because the problem is sin. The Bible says all have sinned. Look at someone and say all. Just say all to them so they understand they're included in that. All have sinned. You have sinned. I have sinned. That sin has made my heart sick. I'm left to myself. I am self-seeking and selfish. I am not kind to people when they're not kind to me, left to myself. I don't like to forgive you if you've done me something wrong. I'm easily get bitter. Easily. Oh, I could be the most bitter person on the planet. Easy. If you do me something wrong, I will hold on to it. I preserve it. Wrap it in clean film. Laminate it. And put it in a Tupperware jar. And put it in the freezer. I can keep it forever. I can easily be jealous and competitive with others when they're doing well. And if you sit here and be like, no, that's just not my nature, you are the biggest liar in here. That's not my nature. People that say that, they're the scariest people, because soon they're going to show you what their nature is, and we're going to be shocked. See, there is an issue with our hearts, church, and it's sin. But I want to say is that Jesus is able to heal the heart. This is what we want to deal with today. Jesus can heal the heart. Jesus is not surprised by the problem you have with your heart. Remember we said, a healthy heart makes healthy relationships. How many want healthy relationships? I want healthy relationships, man. Life is built up of relationships. We're not just talking about romantic relationships. You have a relationship with your family. You want to have a good relationship with your family. You was born into a family. You want to have a good relationship. You want to have friends. The quality of friends is down to relationship. All of these things are affected by our heart. Someone whose heart is not healthy, it plays out in their family. It will play out in their friendships. And what the key thing it's going to play out in any romantic relationship. Man and woman, marriage, dating, it's going to start to come out. And so we need a healthy heart. And so this is the hope that we have. In Luke 4 verse 18, Jesus makes this statement, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Jesus says He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Psalms 147 verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This word brokenhearted, the Hebrew word, when you go, because what Jesus is speaking about, He's quoting from Isaiah when He says, "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." The word brokenhearted means to hurt. When life and people have hurt you. When life and people have hurt you. This is what the condition is of being brokenhearted. You know, when people are hurt, they always overreact over small things. Because you're hurt. I remember when my wife hurt her toe. Because somebody left something in the church. But we've forgiven them. And so whenever we would, you know, I care for my wife. I love my wife. You know, I'm just really super sensitive type of romantic guy. Praise God. God's helping us. Amen. Pray for me, I'll pray for you. Don't laugh like that, wife. You let them know. So, yeah, no, I care for my wife, but I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you forget. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, babe, let's do that. She, you just touched my toe. It's like a little touch made her react. Because why? We understand. Because she's been hurt. She's been injured.
Sometimes when we see and we look at the way we react over small things, come on now, that's a small thing. Why are you reacting like that? Why do you overreact? Why do you make... why do you lose your temper so over a small thing? We've made a whole culture out of it. Are you looking at me? That's it. They just looked at you. Why do you... We make songs about it on YouTube. Listen, if you... I'm going to... You're overreacting. We've created a culture and an industry around hurt, wounded, injured hearts. And we all buy into it. You're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because we all have it. We all identify with it. Something doesn't quite go right with somebody. They don't quite say the right thing at the right time, in the right way, at the right season, when you feel right and you're in the right place and the light is right and the sound is right and the music. And so now you got these, I'm leaving. Calm down. But I'm not here to mock nobody. What I'm here to say is it because life, is it because people, somebody, somewhere, something has hurt your heart? Could you come to a place and say, I think I've been injured. Why do I respond like this? Jesus says he's come to heal your heart. He's not, oh, look at the way they respond. No. I came for right people. I came for good people. No, Jesus says, I've come for the people that whose hearts are broken, whose hearts are hurting. I've come for the people who overreact. And I'm going to heal that thing. The word brokenhearted also is the word to be shattered. When something is shattered, me and some of the guys, we were talking yesterday, I've had my car broken into, not this one, but in the past, I've had cars where they've been broken into. Someone smashes the window and they grab your bag and they do all of that stuff. And so it's just a big inconvenience. Sometimes you lose valuables, but sometimes you don't even lose valuables, but it's the big inconvenience and you have to get the window fixed again. But one of the things, you always keep finding glass. Somewhere, under the seat. Yesterday I saw glass and a guy's got air in the air vent. So how did it get there? Because it's been shattered. And there are things, and you think, oh no, I've covered this, I've gone on with this. And it's a little something happens, and it's all back again. You keep finding these bits, and it's like, when am I going to finish with this? When is it going to be gone? Because your heart has been shattered. When you shatter glass, you can't see through it clearly. If you've ever seen a shop window and it's shattered, but it's not broken, it's just all shattered, you can't actually look through it. Everything is pixelated. Everything is jagged. Is that how you see life now? Is that how you see people? As pixelated, as not clear, as scary and jagged? Is it because of your heart? You're looking for the right person. And many times the right person could be right in front of you, but you're looking for a shattered heart. You could be married to the right person. No, they're not the right person. And you're married to them. And God's like, what do you mean, this person here? But you're looking for a shattered heart. And this is why I said in the beginning, just finding the right person is not going to secure your happiness. Having the right heart. The word broken heart, it also means to be wrecked. I remember there was a brother in Rotherhide. He, after church, he was waiting for somebody. And I think it was his wife. He might have been waiting. His car was on in the car park. He just ran in, said to his wife, come on, I'm waiting. He came back out. His car was gone. He had left the key in the ignition, running. Car was, literally, just went in. I don't know who that was that took that so quick. But that was it. His car was gone. He found it. It was wrecked. They had ruined it. When I was in Phoenix for the conference at the beginning of the month of January, I saw on the news there was this story of this veteran who... He had this old car, this Jeep car, but he wanted to restore it, I think it was. And so this guy came to him and said, listen, I restore cars for you, and I'm going to do it really cheap for you. And give it to me, and I'll restore it, and we can work something out. And the veteran, this old veteran, army veteran, he said, yeah, that's good, man. Oh, thank you for that. I'm so happy. And so the guy, he gives the guy the car, and he tries to keep calling the guy. The guy's not answering. Calls the police. They found the car. The guy ripped him off. Ripped basically the little bit that the Jeep had. He stripped it and they found the car wrecked,
totally just stripped, wrecked. They put it on the news and they're like, oh, this is bad. They put it on the news, they're talking about it. Somebody sees it on the news. Somebody looks at it and sees this guy sees it and he's got his own garage and he sees what happened and he says, you know what? When he sees the car, the shell of the car, he says to the veteran guy, let me have it. And the guy takes this car and what he does is he restores it and he makes it brand new for the veteran. And they're interviewing this guy and they say, why did you do it? And he said, because he's a veteran, man. He fought for our country. He's an old guy. What would happen to him? This is wicked. Why did someone do that? And he says, I had the exact same pieces that I was saving up and I was going to restore mine because I've got the same car. But he says, no, I decided I'm not going to restore mine. I took all my new pieces, interior, exterior, everything, and I put it on his car. And he brought it to the veteran. The veteran is crying. He's on the car. He's like, oh, my days, this looks better than I ever imagined it would be. See, many times we give our hearts to people and they joyride with it. You give your heart. He says, guard this thing. Guard it. Guard it. Guard it. Guard it. Don't just give this to anybody. I don't just mean in relationships. I mean in friendships as well. You don't just pour out your heart to anybody anyhow. You must guard this thing. You must make sure that they're not going to joyride with it. Not just relationships or people. Do not give yourself to things. Oh, my heart. You're just allowing these things to suck your heart in. The culture of this world, and it will take your heart on a joyride and wreck it. But Jesus is like this man who fixed this man's Jeep. Is that Jesus says, listen, I'll take your heart, and I'm going to use my life to fix your heart. Jesus gives us his heart. He gives us a new heart. See, today, if you'll be honest and say, you know what, I want Jesus to give me a new heart. When you get saved, that's really what God wants to do. He wants to give you a new heart. See, the heart that Jesus gives you is a healthy heart. And the reason why we know is because Jesus has already test-drived it. Look in the Gospels. He showed us. Look at my heart. Look how it works. His heart can always love people. When he gives you his heart, you find it easy to love people. His heart is easy to forgive people. Jesus is on the, his heart is so bad that they put him on the cross, put nails in his hand, and he can still say, forgive them. Oh, my days. If we look at you funny, you want to kill us. But his heart, you need to get rid of your old heart and put his heart in your heart. You need to bring your old little banger of a heart that's maybe been crushed, that's maybe been hurt, that's maybe been shattered, that's maybe been taken on a joyride and wrecked, and bring it to Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, give me that thing, and I'm going to use my life, my blood, my sacrifice, and I'm going to renew this thing and give it back to you in a whole new condition. Jesus' heart cannot be bitter. Jesus' heart will not do these things. This is why me and my wife can stay married for 13 years. Because we're not loving each other with our own hearts. Listen, if I was trying to love her with this old shabby thing that I came into Jesus with, if she was trying to love me with her heart, that would have worn out by now. We'd be like, oh, no, this is too much. This is too much. We would have had to collapse. But the reason why we're still going, and it feels that we've just started our honeymoon, is because we have the love and the heart of Jesus. And he keeps giving me more love. Galatians 3:27 says this, as many of you that were baptized into Christ, put on Christ. If you're a Christian here, put on that heart. If you're not a Christian today, accept Jesus so he can give you that heart. See, we need to be committed, not to just make commitments, but we need to be committed to check the conditions of our heart. See, some people here, before you actually start to say to someone, I'll love you forever, you need to look at your heart. And say, listen, can this thing do this? Can this thing actually do forever? I don't even think this thing could do for a week. God, can you help me with this thing? Maybe because you've gone through some pain and you've been hurt and you've been violated. And that wasn't your fault. Maybe it was some of it. Maybe it wasn't. But we're just talking about the reality of the condition that your heart's in now. You need to bring that to Jesus and say, will you mend this thing? See, what we should do is this. Imagine, let's give the scenario again. I want to go on the marathon. Rather than me just sitting at home, drinking Pepsi and eating crisps, talking about, I'm going to finish the marathon. I'm going to raise 10,000 for charity. Okay, good talk, good commitments. But maybe what you should do is, the marathon's going to be in 3 months' time. Get out of your bed and start jogging and preparing for it. Start exercising your heart now, Courtney. Start doing some stuff now. And you may say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Why, if you're single in here, why don't you start loving and forgiving some people that are around you? Why don't you start exercising the heart that Christ has given you at home? Why don't you go home and start loving your parents and your children on a whole nother level? Why don't you go to work and start serving people and loving people? And when people gossip about people in the canteen, in the room, say, listen, I'm not into that. I'm here to love people. I'm all about pulling down devil and bigging up Jesus and nothing else. I don't want to pull down people and big up people. I'm here for that. Why don't you start loving those around you and forgiving people around you? And as you do that, you're exercising your heart. And before you know it, that heart is ready for the right person. And you're not just looking for the right person. You're the right person that the right person is looking for and says, you're the right person, if that made any sense. Let's prepare our hearts. We're going to talk about some other stuff in this series. But I believe the first thing we're going to deal with is our hearts. Let us bring our hearts to Jesus. Let us ask Jesus. What do we say when we pray for people? Ask Jesus into your heart. Some of you here, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. He wants to fix that thing. He's going to restore that thing. He's going to make a whole new heart. That you're going to be loving people and forgiving people and doing things that you never thought you could ever do. You never thought you could ever do it if you would only just allow him into your heart. He's got the tools. He's got the equipment. He knows exactly what he wants to do with you. He's not pushing you away. He's not like, oh, no, that's way too hard. No, no, no. That heart, no, no, no. I'll do hers, but yours, no, no. No, he can fix anybody. You need to accept him today. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.